The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Thank you for the blessing that we have. It is a great blessing to deal with and to talk about. Thank you for our day to celebrate Freedom Sunday. For this Wednesday is our 236th birthday in the United States. And Father, many, many nations have fallen after 200 years. We are one of the few to still go in and hopefully, Lord, continue to go strong. In your Son's most holy, most glorious and precious name, we all say.
Praise God.
I would like to open up with a quote from one of our founding fathers, who was one of the three that helped write the Declaration of Independence. And who ended up being the very first Chief Justice of the United States of America Supreme Court. Let me read what he said. Many of you may have heard of him, many of you haven't. His name is John Jay. How many of you guys have woken up and just thanked John Jay for help with the writing of the Constitution and being the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court? This is a statement. See, personally, I want the one thing we have going for us is honesty. And if we can't be honest with one another, it's very difficult to move forward. Now, as a Christian, one who believes in God, who is walking with God, if you heard the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court say these words today, which you think personally is a little extreme. John Jay, first Chief Justice of the United States. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for our rulers. If you really, honestly, as a Christian, heard the Supreme Court Chief Justice say that today, would you really say this? Whoa, that's really getting a little pushy. If you did, if you would, you have swallowed the lie of the separation of church and state. Isn't it perfect timing from this statement to what just happened? The Chief Justice of the United States voted to protect the court more than the Constitution and the people. Voted to protect the court, even though he knew it was unconstitutional what the law said, so he rewrote it to make it legal. How far have we come? From John Jay, who thinks if you want a great nation, you better elect Christians as your rulers. The Judeo-Christian ethic is what the United States was built upon. I don't know if many of you understand that or know it. And the Judeo-Christian ethics is that which is biblical, that which is from God, that which is the best way for people to get along and survive and protect one another. And because of all of our forefathers understanding that, even the ones that weren't Christians, they understood that if you wanted a great nation, you better build it off of biblical principles. Did you guys know that? You hear so many of them go, well, they was this, and they was this, and they really didn't believe. They believed in God. They didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Hey, I got up here in my package all the prayers of George Washington those 3 days, April 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Now, 1891 was when they were sold. At auction, not when he said it when he was 20. That's misleading how it was done on the tape there. But it is, I have them all, and you should understand this man at age 20 understanding what it was all about to believe in God, to believe in Jesus Christ, and put their hope that one day they're going to sin. Thus America was born. Amen? Amen? So out of those principles, out of that belief, became the United States of America. Principle number one, the dignity of human life. Can you hear you?
Amen.
The dignity of
human life.
The scriptures emphatically teach the great importance of the respect and preservation of human life. In the Declaration of Independence, our nation's founding fathers wrote that everyone has unalienable rights and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it amazing that they put life at the very beginning? Do you understand that there is no life? There's no liberties. Someone doesn't have a life, doesn't have any liberties anyway. There's no right to pursue happiness if there's no life. Do you think our nation has changed?
Yes, sir.
It says, if people and nations do not grant ultimate respect and the protection to both the born and the unborn, all other professed morals and values are meaningless. The dignity of human life is not just a principle of the Bible. It is the first principle of any civilized nation. First principle, dignity of human life. Do you think we believe that today?
No, sir.
If we did, we would not have a problem with abortion.
Amen.
Millions of babies are killed, not choiced out, not because I got the free choice to do this. It is my right to do this. Killed every year. And we'll get more upset about a traffic ticket as Christians than becoming an uncivilized nation because we walked away from God. Well, you know, you got to have scripture to back up what you're going to say. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
If dignity of life is very important, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, part of it, let me read it to you. We're going to roll because I don't have time to wait for you to look if we're going to get through all seven. Exodus 20, verse 13, in the middle of it says, you shall not murder. That's not, the translation is you shall not murder. Has nothing to do with you shall not kill. That's the difference between God giving orders to wipe out all of the enemies of Israel and putting you in jail for murdering somebody. It's, you know, if you are simple-minded, you can't make the distinction. That's all I'm going to say. You go home and think about that one. Matthew chapter 22, verse 39. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I wish I couldn't understand this one. I got some neighbors out there that are woozy, doozy, loozies. I got one neighbor across the street from me, hate me just because I'm black. And won't hide it. Just because we moved into this white neighborhood, hated it. So when my kids was younger, I know it was terrible to do, but I'm black. In the field right across from my neighbor, I put out three or four chairs for me. I forgot how many kids I had then. And I sit on the hill and waited for them to come out, and we ate watermelon and spit the seeds out. God's going to get me for that one. I know he is. Because I am to love my
neighbor.
I'm trying to figure out, is the difference between loving someone and liking somebody? Okay, so if you can't figure that one out, you're simple-minded. Principle number two. Our society has been based upon the belief that the biblical, principle number two, traditional monogamous family. America was built upon the traditional monogamous family. Not a new definition of family, not what a family means. It did not say in scriptures in Revelation 29, which is not one. It didn't say in Acts 29, which isn't one. It did not say in Matthew 76, book 70, chapter 76, didn't say it. That family is to be raised by a village. It does not take a village. It takes a mom and a dad who will show consistency and will pull out the strap if needed. And if we can get, I tell you the strap we're talking about. I wish I could go to Washington, D.C. sometime and remind the senators and the representatives that I'm here to beat you because your parents didn't. Can I have an amen? The traditional monogamous family. Our society has been based upon the belief that the biblical view of traditional marriage and family is the backbone of a healthy social order. Since the joining together of Adam and Eve, marriage has been recognized as a holy union between one man and one woman, and out of that union comes children, born into a home with a father and a mother to love them, nurture them, and teach them how to become healthy, productive, and responsible citizens. And Adam said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23 and 24, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." You ever woke up and was in a daze? You're in a deep sleep and you got to get your faculties right before you can move. Am I the only one that's ever been in that sleep? You know what I'm talking about then. And then you had to even think about, where did I go to sleep last night? And you're not even drunk, you're just dazed. Amen. We're not going to talk about that other. We're talking about the United States right now, not the state of your union. Can I have an amen? Now, what's important is this. When you look at Adam waking up, dazed, God had taken a rib, made woman. He woke up, looked. Whoa! Yeah! Man! And he put them both together, woman, and that's how you got your name, girl. Just wanted to. I read it out of the book of Adam. Check this out. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Who shall leave?
Man.
Who's always asking to be leaving?
Man.
Woman.
A woman.
Oh, you got to leave. Oh, you got to leave. You got to go. Let me tell you something, girl. If you run into a guy who can't help you and can't take care of you before he says, "I do," not going to treat you like a woman of God, not going to lead you the way he should as a single man, you can forget it when he becomes your husband. And guys, a woman who is not going to walk with God before you get married, don't be surprised whatever she will do after she gets married. That's why God put in the Bible church discipline. Are we happy yet? Principle number one, dignity of human life. Principle number two, what?
Traditional monogamous family.
Principle number three, a natural work ethic. Woo! I like this one. And you're not going to like what I'm about to say, because I will do it. Because I think that's what the word says. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
A work
ethic.
A work
ethic.
Today we got a give me ethic. How far has America come? Do you know if you go, and a young lady showed it to me after the first service, that at the Statue of Liberty, I believe, in New York, it has written on the bottom that every person that comes here from a foreign country to immigrate here and become a citizen, at first they had to prove they had the abilities and capabilities of getting and working in a job to take care of themselves so they do not fall up on the national dole. Do you know that was it? Do we still do that? Wow, we have kind of moved from that principle. What is the principle of a work ethic? I'm so happy you asked. Ingrained deep within the American spirit is the willingness and the desire to give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. This independent spirit has no desire to simply exist on handouts from the government or to depend on the generosity of others. It is this same independent spirit that has allowed America to create the greatest and strongest economy in the history of the world. Do we still believe that today? You say, "Well, Pastor, I mean, you know, you're just pushing." Oh, let's see what the scripture has to say. Can I read scripture? We're a Bible-believing church. Should we not believe what scripture says? And, you know, you can interpret this any way you want to. I think it's self-explanatory. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone would not work, neither shall they eat. Now, there's people that is in need. The Bible said we ought to take care of the people in need. Can anyone tell me who the Bible said is in need? Widows and orphans. Somebody say amen to the pastor. You're just looking at me like you're already on the dole and you don't want to appreciate what I'm saying. Should I keep going?
Yes, sir.
The first service, we was already through, so we had to quit. I'm not quitting right now. I hope you don't mind.
No, sir.
Even if you do, I'm not quitting. America has had their challenges. The Great Depression of the 1930s knocked us to our knees, but it did not beat us. Together, Americans helped one another and lifted up our nation back to its economic might. The powers of the world look at our nation and ask where the spirit of honest labor came from and where this work ethic originated. And today they look at us and say, where has it gone? Let me read a couple of quotes from some of our presidents. See if they believe in these principles. First principle is what?
Dignity of human life.
Second principle is what?
Traditional monogamous family.
Traditional. Principle number three is?
National work ethic.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something? Ah, let's see what the president had to say. And if it's based upon the Bible and these presidents believe in the Bible, do you think they hold a principle one, principle two, and principle three?
I think so.
You would think so, right? So let's read just a couple of what the presidents say. George Washington, first president of the United States. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States. The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the scriptures. Somebody get a pastor, amen.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States. You saw Ernest Abe. Let me have a hat. I got to go back to my Abe.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
In regard for the great book, I have this to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln.
Amen.
16th president of the United States. If they believe the Bible, do you think they believe in the Judeo-Christian ethic?
Yes, sir.
You think they believe that all the principles they came up with was alive in their belief when they put the United States together? When they put the Constitution, when they broke away, as Silas said, from Britain because of the overbearing aspect of government. Christians today have forgotten so bad about what it really means for the government not being able to tell us what to do. We have become evangelifish. Badly misrepresenting what God has created. We'll get to a couple more presidents here in a few minutes. Let's get back to the principles. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Principle number four. Woo, baby. Principle number four, the right to a God-centered education. Man, I got to keep fighting this gum, so keep praying for me. Never thought chewing gum would try to take away my sermon. Principle number four, the right to a God-centered education. We see in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How can one understand the creation without first knowing its creator? The answer is that one cannot. Our forefathers certainly understood this. For example, did you know that most of America's oldest universities, such as Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Dartmouth, were founded by Christian preachers or churches? Harvard University, founded in 1636, adopted rules and precepts which stated, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. It is still there. biggest problem with America is we have been educated beyond our intelligence.
Amen.
We are smarter than our common sense. And we are much smarter than the Word of God. You need scriptures. I think it's important. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Listen to this. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the father, of the mother, of the traditions of the family, or in the traditions of the Lord. Did you know that the primer, they call it the primer? I wanted to call it the primer. But all of the educational books the kids was trained out of, the primer, was all Bible. And when we remove God out of education, we have not been the same as a nation. When we remove the Pledge of Allegiance on the early morning of starting a school, because it may offend someone that wasn't born here. Get out! Don't like it here? Go back to where you came and then tell me you don't like it here. But we are the only nation in all the world that's more concerned about someone else's language than teaching our children correct language of English. Principle number 5. Is that good enough? Can we move from there? We have to, because I only got 10 extra minutes. You know what I'm saying? Principle number 5. The Abrahamic covenant. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
What does that have to do with today, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. A covenant is a decision involved two individuals or groups stating that they will keep a promise or fulfill an agreement between them. The book of Genesis records the story of God making a covenant with Abraham. The basis of that covenant was that if Abraham would follow God, obeying his laws and commandments, God would bless Abraham with generations of children that would outnumber the stars in the heaven, Genesis 15:5. Abraham believed God, obeyed his word, and God rewarded him with many descendants, a nation of people now known as Israel. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, God calls Abraham and sets the covenant with him. But Pastor, that's Old Testament. That was just to Abraham. You can't say that now. Okay. How about Galatians chapter 3, verse 7? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are of the sons of Abraham. Bam, knock you out. Bam, skis right in the jaw. The covenant of God, when we became believers, locks us in. We have to live by these same principles, and we have to hold the nation that we have been born into to those principles. If not, you get what we get today. When our forefathers wrote the Constitution and set up government, one of the most amazing aspects of government you can ever believe in your life, do not give any major of the three all power. Judicial, to say whether a law that's been made is constitutional. The executive, to veto a bill they don't think is right. The legislative, who makes the bills, writes the bills, know that they're constitutional, not constitutional, and have a right to override the Supreme Court and to override the executive. Because when the Supreme Court said this isn't constitution, and the executive said I don't like it, two-thirds vote overrides the executive, and rewriting the law overrides the Constitution to make it constitutional. Overrides, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court. Men thought that up, who came out of tyranny, who were submitted to one monarch, wrote this. And I just want to ask you, do we believe that is truth today? When the executive branch, the White House, and the president can say, I don't care what you want, legislature, you're not getting these documents. When the Supreme Court can say, I know what the constitutional law is, but I don't have to listen to that, I'll rewrite it. No, that's a legislative job, not yours. Do we still believe in the power of God and why this nation was a nation, why we made it what it was. Do we still stand there? And you know what's so bad? Let me tell you what's really bad. And I'm talking to us personally because I want everyone when you leave here to make a decision. What are you going to be? What are you going to do? What are you going to hold on to as this nation needs you and I? It's one thing to know that something is wrong. It's one thing to know that just is not constitutional. It's one thing to know that is a sin and not do anything about it. That's worse than the sin or the overriding of our government by itself. To know that abortion is happening and think it's okay under situational ethics. Principle number 6. Common decency. Did anyone hear that? Judeo-Christian ethics, principle number 6. What is it? Common decency. Principle number 5 was? Abrahamic covenant. Come on. Abrahamic covenant. Principle number 4? The right of a God-centered education. Principle number 3? A national worker. Principle number 2?
Traditional monogamous family,
principle number 1.
Dignity of human life.
All these other principles do not work. The next 6 does not work if principle number 1 isn't kept. We've had people and nations go. We're the only nations, folks, really, that would leave our shores of safety to go help someone else be safe. And then not make them submit to us and be their kings. This is a great nation. But as the church is coming weaker and weaker every day, we are losing that nation because we refuse to stand up and say, we are not taking it anymore. You have lied to us. You have given us deception in our education. You have revisited and rewrote history. You have lied, and we are not going to believe this anymore. Principle number 6, common decency. Simply put, this is the belief that a decent nation is made up of decent people. Can I have an amen? Like I said, America is Americans. The church is members. And changing America wouldn't be that hard if we just change Americans.
Amen.
The nation, when faced with any trying or difficult situation, would do the decent, right, and honorable thing. And the most part that has been the record of our national history, for example, Americans have given their lives in wars on foreign soil so that others might experience freedom. The New Colossus by Emma Lazarus. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. A world-renowned symbol of freedom, this statue stands to remind us all that America has indeed been and continues to be today a nation of common decency. You want to immigrate here? Immigrate here. Do it legally. Matthew 22:39. You shall love your neighbor as... I can't get away from that. Keeps throwing it back at me. Do you guys understand your pastor simply hates working with any East Side pastor? I hate it. I don't just dislike it. I hate it. Very strong words. You don't use the word hate unless you mean it. I hate working with East Side pastors. I hate working with pastors in the Northwest. They have stabbed us more times in the back than Van Camp's got pork and beans. But you know what? I do not have the freedom not to do it. You know why? Because the word of God say, be unified. And regardless how many times they turn the back, regardless how many times they stab us in the back, regardless how many times you guys say something about me behind my back, regardless how many times you are talking about to others and what's going on in this church and you don't have the slightest idea what it is, guess what? I am called to love you and have unity with you. But my job also is to hold you accountable to the word of God. And if you're lying, if they're lying, you ought to be confronted. Love you. But bro, you're wrong. Sister, love you. But you're wrong. And my love does not override your wrongness. My love is going to make you right. Or we're not going to have fellowship. Common. What?
Decency.
Well, let's see what a couple of the presidents had to say. Is that okay?
Woodrow
Wilson, 28th President of the United States. The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, and the spiritual nature and need of men. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived from the revelations of the Holy Scriptures. Franklin Roosevelt said, the bravest man I ever met followed me up San Juan Hill. Oh, that Theodore. That was Theodore. I'm sorry. Trying to add something I don't know. But it sounded good at the time, didn't it? We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. Where we have been the truest and most consistent in obeying its precepts, we have attained the greatest measure of contentment and prosperity. The 32nd President of the United States. Principle number 7. Principle number 7. Our personal accountability to God. Our personal responsibility to what?
To God.
Perhaps the greatest restraint against acts of evil towards others is the knowledge that every person and nation will one day give an account for their actions to Almighty God. How many people in the United States do you think, percentage-wise, still believe that? How many leaders in America do you think still believe that? How many nations in the world do you believe, really believe that? Certainly the Bible tells us that we are responsible for our actions and we must be accountable for what we do or don't do. It also teaches that there is a penalty for doing wrong and a blessing when we do that which is right. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after that, judgment. I think God means what he says and says what he means. Principle number 7. You have a personal accountability to God. The great American statesman David Webster was once asked, what is the most sobering thought that ever entered your mind? He quickly responded, my personal accountability to God. Webster knew, regardless of what he did, one day he's going to stand before God and give an account of it. Let's close with a couple more presidents. Hopefully that'll be all right. If it isn't, that's all right with me. We're going to do it anyway. Ulysses S. Grant, the 18th president of the United States. Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, are we indeed for all the progress made in true civilization? And to this we must look as our guide in the future. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And last but not least, my man, Ronald Reagan. Inside the Bible pages lie all the answers to all of the problems man has ever known. It is my firm belief that the enduring values presented in these pages have a great meaning for each of us and for our nation. The Bible can touch our hearts, order our minds, and refresh our souls. For the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. May God help us if we do not stand on what he wants us to stand on instead of what we think we need to stand on.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.